A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzlingly white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Now, you heard in the Gospel this morning that the apostles were overcome by sleep. And I find at this point in the Mass, during the homily, some people are very often overcome by sleep. So that's why I come down here, so that I can keep an eye on you and kind of give you a little tap on the shoulder now and again and wake you up. So today is second Sunday of Lent, and it's normally this day we, as well as the 6th of August, we celebrate the Feast of the Transfiguration. Now that's a pretty big word, transfiguration, where Jesus went up a mountain and took Peter, James, and John, and he was transfigured, or theological phrase that she uses, he was metamorphosed, which is even a bigger word. And then we get a brief glimpse of the transcendence and the immanence, or the immanence of Jesus, whichever way you like to pronounce that word. Now we've got to get away from all those words very quickly. The apostles were going through a difficult time, and things weren't going very well, and they probably felt a bit down. And most of us, don't we feel like that sometimes? Life has its ups and downs, and we don't feel marvelous. And Jesus decided to take them up the mountain. And while he was there, we're told he was totally transfigured. He changed in form and appearance. He changed in form and appearance. And the apostles were they woke up and they were overcome, and they thought, "Oh, isn't this absolutely beautiful?" And they wanted to stay there, because this was really what it was all about. Jesus gave them a brief glimpse of what was the future for them. Now, the transfiguration, it reminds me, if I can just go off at a tangent for a moment, of a little story. And it's a funny little story. There's a country farmer, an old country farmer, and he visits a big city for the first time with his wife and his son. And while his wife and son are at the reception desk signing in or registering, he's looking in amazement at the elevator in this big hotel. And then he sees an elderly lady getting into the elevator, and doors close and she disappears. And a minute later, the doors open again, and this beautiful young woman steps out of the elevator. And he's just amazed. So he says, "Son, tell your mother to come over here quick and put her into this marvelous machine." And he said, and she'll be transformed into a beautiful young woman. Well, that gives you an idea of what a transfiguration is like. And that awaits all of us. Now, interesting, and this is a very interesting point. The apostles wanted to stay up there because it was just absolutely beautiful. And they wanted to make three tents, and they wanted to kind of worship Elijah and Moses and Jesus. And Jesus said, "No, we got to go back down." Now, Jesus never said in the Gospels any time, "Worship me. Worship me." But he said many, many times, "Follow me." And there's a big difference between worshiping Jesus and following him. Big, big difference. And many people love to worship Jesus, but they do not follow him. And there's many, many people like that. Now, a very important thing also, there are many people who have never had the gift of faith, because it is a gift, and yet they follow Jesus. And maybe even they've never heard who Jesus was or who Jesus is. Now, what kind of people would I be talking about? Well, so many people, and you've come across them, and I've come across them in my life, who are very difficult lives. People who are caring for somebody who is ill. Somebody who is invalided. Somebody who has a mental condition. And have to look after that person 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Look at that. What are they doing? What are people like that doing? Aren't they really following Jesus? "I was invalided and you looked after me. I was mentally incapacitated and you looked after me 24 hours a day out of love and care." Those people are probably a lot nearer to God than many people who turn up in a church every Sunday and sing and praise the Lord and then go out and are judgmental and greedy and selfish and all the other things that we do. This is how we follow Jesus. And another thing that I'm very aware of, and have become more aware of as I've got older. Why did Jesus become one of us? Why did God become flesh? Because, well, we read in the beautiful Gospel of St. John on Christmas morning, and the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. Christ, God, became flesh in Jesus. Why did Jesus come? Jesus did not come to change God's mind about us, but to change our mind about God. Jesus did not come to change our mind about God, but to change, not to change God's mind about us, but to change our mind about God. To show that God was a loving human being. Jesus also became human to tell us there is nothing wrong with being human. Now I'm forever telling that to people in confession. They come in and they're all upset because the little things they have done. And my answer, my only comment I often make is, when are you going to accept being human? When are you going to accept being human? It's a beautiful thing to be human. You see, what we really are, and maybe you've never heard this before, but it's an absolute fact. We really are, we're not human beings trying to become spiritual. We are actually, because God lives within us, we are spiritual beings trying to become human. And I firmly believe that my one ultimate vocation in life is to become the person that God really wants me to be. Nothing more and nothing else. I tell myself that every single day. And so, what I'm trying to say to you is, you're never going to become perfect. Now, that's not a revelation, is it? And I would never want to have anything to do with a person who was perfect, because that would be the biggest pain you could ever meet. Can you imagine living with Mr. Perfect? Somebody who's never wrong. Well, some of you know, don't have to even imagine that. You are. Or living with Mrs. Perfect. It's like a couple who are 50 years married and he was asked by somebody, what do you contribute such a happy marriage to? Well, he says, the old man says, well, he says, there's no I in marriage. In the word marriage. And his wife said, and I, for my part, never correct his spelling. So, it's lovely to be human. To be human. And God never rejected a sinner. And the most important thing in life, the most important thing for me, is to be aware of my sinfulness. Aware of my sinfulness. Not to be sinless. Now that almost sounds like heresy. Don't try to be sinless. But try to become more aware of your sinfulness. Does that make sense? I think that's a very important thing to say. And to be able to come and stand before the Lord and to be able to say from the heart, and that's what I love to say, because I believe I'm never nearer to God than when I say from the heart, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Amen.